Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the Rates and Lanes podcast with Rico Muhammad. Tonight we have our special guest Chuck Snow, and true to form, ladies and gentlemen, true to form. right when we go live, I've got a little bit of a catastrophe on my hands with the reefer unit that I'm pulling. But with no further ado, I'm not going to have a chance to get into my particular spiel right now. I want to get Chuck up on board, and then we may have to do a little bit of freestyling, and we'll probably come back to the information with the DAT trend lines and, of course, the USDA truck rate report. But with no further ado, I want to bring on our special guest, Chuck Snow, and get him up and on board with us. Chuck, are you there?
I'm here, Rico.
Good deal, Chuck. Well, it looks like we got somebody on the line that has a question, so that might help us out starting out initially anyway. Let's see. I don't know if I have a call screener tonight, but let's see who we got here. We got someone calling in from the 915 area code, so we're going to bring them right up and on board. Caller from the 915, you're on live with Rico and Chuck. What's your name and how can we help?
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep. Coming in loud and clear.
All right, awesome. my name is Thomas Jones. I'm from El Paso, Texas. Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself first. I started off my trucking career in the oil fields down in Texas, and it was going pretty good for a while. I got out of mortgage, car loan. My son is in private school. Then the market dropped terribly, and I had to make a choice. I decided to go over the road for a dedicated account for a major carrier, and it suffices my needs. But I live off of, when I'm on the road, I live off about $75 a week. I live off of dollar burgers, breakfast burritos, hot dogs, and every time I go home, I'm reminded why I'm doing this. But I'm really ready to take it up a notch and up my income. I just, I've been trying to find a lease program that might be adequate for me. But every time I call and I ask about the programs, they all are just so predatory. And I have not been willing to, risk losing my house or even a couple steps further. But so I just really, really want some advice of what I can do, because I never would have thought when I was younger that I would be making, 55, 60 grand a year and be so stuck. I'm stuck in my career, and I need some advice.
Okay, let me ask.
Once again, I'm sorry, you said that you were leased to a carrier, or did you have your own authority?
What's that, sir?
Are you leased to a carrier, or you have your own authority?
I'm a company driver for a carrier. I don't know if I can say specific names, but
no, you don't have to give a name. So that's irrelevant. I can tell you one thing, and I pretty much agree with Kevin on this one. You got most of these lease deals that are out there. You're right; they are predatory. And they're not geared in your favor. And it's, when you can't make payments on that truck for some reason or another, the next guy is right behind you. It's kind of like one of those mechanical bulls. Guys line up to get thrown off. And that's what this whole thing is like. So I would stay away from those things. If you want to get into your own truck, I think you should do that. Either go and buy, a good used truck, or, as I suggested at the CMC, there may be a way of doing it through a lease, an actual lease program, where you can lease the truck from Ryder or Penske or Pack Lease or whoever. And the beauty of that is then you have a guaranteed cost. You have a fixed cost of running that truck. There are no surprises. It's very expensive, but you are an independent business person, then you can make your own decisions.
Could you repeat those companies for me? I heard Penske.
Well, Penske and Ryder. Pack Lease. There's National Lease. I think there's some other ones in the United States as well, but those are the big ones.
Now, do I end up driving for them, or can I take it, like, say, to Landstar or another?
Oh, you could go to Landstar in a second, as long as you qualify at Landstar. You'd have to speak to Landstar first, and that's probably one of the better outfits to do this with, because for the most part, my understanding is they pay enough to be able to afford this. It's a very expensive, and I'll go on the air and I'll go on record as saying that. It's a very expensive way of getting into this thing. However, you know, I've been doing it for years and years and years, and it can work. You're not going to maybe make as much. You probably won't make as much as you would if you go and buy a truck, but you have none of the uncertainties. And I can tell you, if you went out and bought a 2015 truck for $140,000 or $150,000, there's all sorts of uncertainties with the new engines. And if you're going to spend $150,000, and the thing is going to be down for at least, you know, I was just talking to somebody today, and he figures in his fleet, every truck is down an average of a month a year because of all of these technical problems they're having with new engines. So, you know, there's a couple ways of doing this, and that may, as long as you have good credit, that is the path of least resistance to get you into it, and then get yourself comfortable and, you know, get your moxie back, and then, you know, do that for 6 months or so, make sure you can do this, and then, boom, go and buy a truck.
Okay. I believe my credit does suffice. I've actually checked into it to buy a truck, but I'm just, I don't know if you can understand the fear I have of, you know, I got a mortgage, I got two kids, and I'm just really living on the edge, hand-to-mouth kind of situation. Screwed me over.
Let me interject a little bit. Have you ever heard of Dave Ramsey?
What's that?
Have you ever heard of Dave Ramsey?
Dave Ramsey, yes, sir.
Have you ever tried any of his material? Tried as far as like creating a budget and stuff. Start trying to get you and your family on a budget to start alleviating. If you start telling your money where to go instead of just. The way that he puts it is sit back and waiting for your money to dictate where it's going to go. If you tell your money where to go, it's surprising how it gets things get done. And I know it's he calls his budgeting method, he calls it kind of like beans and rice, which if you follow his budgeting method, it's not really living off beans and rice, but I tell you what, you know, it eliminates going out to eat. It eliminates all of that, anything extra like that.
That's pretty much all eliminated. We live on a budget.
Well, I'm saying
when you come home,
you know, maybe if your wife could maybe have like some Tupperware plates set aside for you when she cooks the meals for the family, and instead of you when you're on the road or whatever, you know, you can possibly have, you know, even better home cooks. Maybe freeze them and stuff like that. Just trying to think of some other methods that might be able to help you save a little bit of money right now in the immediate, and start trying to get yourself ahead of the game here in the future.
Just a shout out to all the listeners. If you ever considered working for the oil fields, it sounds great at first. It looks like a golden piece of paper. And but just like you can get into it, it might spit you right back out. I mean, I was clearing over 80 grand a year, and when it all dropped, I had all these bills and a whole bunch of stress. The oil fields are not as easy as they sound. Thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate your advice, and I wish you a great day.
Good luck, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate the phone call from that caller. Chuck, I think we got another caller that may have a
question that wants to get in as well. Let's see here. We have Mike that has a question that wants to get in, and I'm going to be pulling into the Carrier dealership in here in just a second, so I'm going to let you and Mike chop this one up, and I'll get right back in here in just a second. So, Mike, you're online.
Hey, good luck with your reefer there, Rico.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much.
Hi, Mike. How can I help you?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, there's a company out there I'd like to move freight for. Their weight is good. The area they're traveling in is nice, but they're offering to the truck $1.20. You think there's a body could make a living out of that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Now, hold on a second. Before I jump and say no, there's a couple. You're going to lease your truck on with them, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, is it their trailer?
Yes.
Okay, and who's paying for the insurance?
They are.
And who pays for the plates?
They do.
And who pays for the tolls?
They do.
Then you could make a living.
Yeah.
You know, that's about standard rate. You know, that's $1.20 all in.
Yeah,
including
that
fuel surcharge and everything?
Yeah, that includes the fuel. It includes all the deadhead miles. Basically, that's what they're averaging. The average driver is making, or owner-operator is making from them now. Yeah, that's it. But
okay, you know
like
what? That's okay. A couple of questions. Where are you running? What area are you running?
It's going to be from the southeast up to Wisconsin, down to Laredo, Texas, where they have plenty of freight out of because they have a terminal there coming out of Mexico, and then back to Georgia again.
Okay. You're okay, and what are the weights like? How heavy are the loads?
30, thereabouts.
Yeah, you know what? I think that at 30,000 pounds, I think it's, you know, I think it's a fair rate. I think you can make a living, especially with the cost of fuel being what it is.
Yeah.
How new is your truck, Mike?
It's an old truck. It's a 2000.
You'll make money. If you told me you had a brand new 2015, and you just paid $150,000, that could be a different story.
15 grand all paid off.
Oh, you're in great shape.
Yep.
You know, I think you're going to make some money here. You know, you're the sort of guy that is going to be definitely going to be a success story.
Okay, great. I appreciate that info. Thanks.
Let me ask you a question, Mike.
Yes.
How long is it until you start getting paid with this company?
They pay within 24 hours.
So you get paid. So you pull a load from Wisconsin to Laredo, and you get paid in 24 hours?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Usually
yeah,
when you're... Yeah.
Yeah, no, these guys are out there a while. They're doing that all the time, and it's kind of like Mercer's, like them guys. You know, as soon as you pull the load or get it delivered, that's it. You get paid. Send in your information, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a that's a very fair deal. And
right.
I think you can make money. How many miles a year are they telling you you're going to get?
Looking at about 2,500 to 3,000 a week.
There's no reason you shouldn't make money. Your truck probably gets good fuel mileage.
It does. Yeah.
Well, then you're going to make some money. Well, congratulations.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I wasn't sure at 120 it was just cutting it fine. I'm probably making that about now, or maybe a little more even, but I'm pulling very heavy loads all the time and an awful lot of deadhead. So, you know.
On your deadhead right now, are you getting paid for it or not?
No, nothing.
Yeah, that's the program we have here is we pay our owner-operators for every mile they do, whether it's loaded or empty. And depending on the depending on the truck, some of them I notice it doesn't make a big difference on weight, and other ones are sensitive to it. It just depends on the truck, you know, and the components on how the truck, the engine and the transmission, the rear ends are all aligned, and it also depends on how fast somebody goes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay, you know, be careful when you're down in Texas. You don't want to get on that road where I think they're driving 85 or 90 miles an hour because you're going to suck back a lot of fuel.
Oh, you won't find me doing that, no way.
No,
they'll
I
be,
wouldn't.
No. They'll be pushing me, I guarantee you.
It's amazing how we get older, we slow down a little bit.
how do you know I'm old?
All right, Chuck, I'm jump back in here real quick. Before you and Mike, did y'all finish up?
Yeah, I'm done. Thanks, guys. Thanks,
take
guys.
Care, Mike. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll put Mike back on hold, and let's see. We got Richard has a question for us, Chuck, so I'm trying to double duty over here.
Okay, buddy. So I know you can handle it.
Tonight is basically racing lanes with Chuck Snow. Hold on. Hey, let's see if we can get Richard up here. Hey, Richard, you're on live with Rico and Chuck. Well, basically Chuck, but how can we help tonight?
Hey, guys, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good. Not bad, Chuck. Actually, I talked to Chuck probably a year ago. I don't even remember this or not. My brother had just gotten his license, and I bought a truck for him, and I was going to go get my own CVOR, and you told me to get them on with somebody else, let him get a year on their CVOR and do his thing there.
Yes, I do remember the conversation.
Yeah. I took your advice. I got him on to a company there out of Brampton running the States. We were a little concerned about him getting across the bridge. So he's been there about 6 months now doing good, other than there's just some shenanigans going on over there. And so I went and wrote my CVOR test a couple weeks ago. I'm just waiting on my numbers to come in. And I've got two quick questions. One is regarding insurance. How much do you think the insurance would go up if I added hazmat on it?
Quite a bit. If you're, and I don't know about, you're in Canada, so I can speak from experience. When we went to add hazmat on, we started a new fleet about 8 years ago to be a hazmat carrier. And the insurance company wouldn't give me a rate right away. And we weren't really a fleet yet because we were under 10 trucks. And they said, just, you know, we know who you are. We know you're a good operator, blah, blah, blah. Just operate and we'll work out the rate. And they worked out the rate. And I, at the time, I was paying $10,000 on my other trucks. And for this new fleet that we started, because it wasn't a fleet, they wanted $25,000 per truck.
Okay. All right.
So
that's pretty much.
You got a halt. And the problem was at that time, and I really can't speak for right now, but I can tell you at that time, people were not willing to pay the extra for us to haul hazardous. And
yeah.
I think we're probably seeing a similar situation to that right now, especially out of Ontario, because there is there's such a glut of trucks and such a shortage of outbound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a shipper's market.
Absolutely it is right now, especially coming out of Ontario. So.
Well, it is really tough. So probably the hazmat shippers are trying to get away without paying any extra. And I know some of the people in the U.S. that are listening to this show are shaking their heads going, what? What are those stupid Canadians doing now? And this is what we're up against because they can't fathom what we're up against, you know, especially in Ontario.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I guess my next question is, when I do decide to pull them off of this carrier and start running under my own authority here, which probably I'm still shooting to get them a year's experience, but if things keep going the way they're going over here, I'm not going to have much of a choice.
Well, you
do
have a choice. Hold on a second. Let me interject here. You do have a choice. Why don't you see about putting him on with another carrier? You are getting into you're going to go and get your own authority insurance in the worst possible time we've had in the last 3 or 4 years in Ontario.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get your work out of Ontario being the new kid on the block?
Well, probably not a lot of places. The only saving grace is we're 20 minutes from the Michigan border. So I was kind of hoping I could get a lot. You know, it's better than running down to Toronto to get something to come back, right? We can always just go back into Michigan or whatnot.
Are you going to run a reefer or drive-in?
I think drive-in right now.
I don't recommend doing what you're doing.
Okay.
I think you'd probably, if you're going to do this at all, you could make this work if you had a refrigerated trailer, but you need to learn how to run a reefer.
Yep.
There is opportunities for you in your area, you know, around, you know, in Essex County, you've got all sorts of growers down there in Leamington. But even then, even if you ran empty and you don't, I'm not telling you to go run to California, but run the Midwest, you know, at least you can bring back some refrigerated freight.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be better
okay.
off doing that.
Where do I, like what load boards would you recommend to use for our area? Is there brokerage firms up back home, stuff like that?
Well, you may luck in and tie into one brokerage firm and get a steady deal, especially, but usually your steady deals are going to take you back. You may leave from, you know, from the Windsor area or wherever you are, or Sarnia, wherever, on the Ontario side and go empty into the States. But the big population, unfortunately, is in the Toronto area.
Yep.
So you're going to end up taking loads into Toronto, and then you don't want to be running back empty all the time from Toronto back to your home base and then into the border. It's just too many empty miles, and at least with a reefer, you got a better chance. You know, you can get loads of produce right now or pretty soon going southbound.
Okay.
But you're
going to,
I'm telling you now, not just Leamington, you got the Holland Marsh, you got a whack of stuff coming out of Quebec. So you can get loads from the U.S., you know, from Michigan and places like that into Montreal, even from Leamington into Montreal, and then load from Montreal going into, you know, Ohio and things like that with a reefer. But
okay.
You don't stand a chance right now trying to start this thing out with a dry van.
How big of a learning curve is this going to be? I'm at Landstar. I've been here almost 5 years, so you know I've got a handle on their system. I got a handle on the board and that their board. But how much more of a learning curve is it going to be once I start dispatching his truck?
Huge, and you know, this is where Kevin and I have a difference of opinion, especially when it comes to the difference between being American and being Canadian. You know, when I listen to these American guys down at CMC, I just shake my head because they've got such a wonderful, broad playground to work in because, you know, they can go anywhere. These guys don't understand what the restrictions of being Canadian are. And for all of our American listeners, let me just tell you, being Canadian, we are restricted. We can haul from Canada to the U.S., and U.S. to Canada, and Canada to Canada. And that's tough because the rates may be okay one way, but there's zero coming back the other way. So when we get into an area like, let's say, Laredo, Texas, and there's a load coming back from Laredo to Toledo, Ohio, or Detroit, Michigan, legally we cannot touch it. And if we do, the consequences can be very severe, such as having our trucks confiscated because we're taking work away from Americans. It's called cabotage. So it's just a different playing field. So being a Canadian and getting your own authority is not, you know, it's not all it's cut out to be, especially right now. You know, I'm sure you've heard on the radio, you know, there is a little bit of a slowdown here. We don't know how long it's going to last, and a lot of it is as a result of the oil fields just being so lousy. You know, we've got tens of thousands of people out of work, and all of the machinery and the food and the beverages and everything else that was consumed in the oil field is no longer being consumed. So that's had a devastating effect on the economy in Canada. And even though it all happened in Alberta, it's hit Ontario, because now all of a sudden we have all these Alberta carriers that are going after our traditional freight. So, you know, think
Delta
about
Dashian
that.
With you guys.
Welcome back, Rico. I hope you got your problem fixed.
Well, we're in line, but I was able to manage to jump back here and do a little bit of mechanical work, and I actually got it started myself, but we're going to let them check it out since we're here anyway.
Okay, good. Anyway, we're just talking about this gentleman here, Richard, getting his own authority up in Canada, and just pros and cons. But I would just be real careful, and what I would do right now, if you can, is see if you can get that truck on another company. I think you're going to be a lot more successful.
He's only got that 6 months in, right? And I could probably limp it out another 6 months so he gets that golden 1 year in over here. It's just, there's just been some shady practices the last couple of weeks, and it's just, you know.
Well, what? There's other companies that may take him on.
Yeah.
There's a book that comes to my, we've advertised in it, Driver Owner or something. It's available at all the truck stops up in Canada. And, you know, he may be able to get a job. Is it 6 months U.S. experience he has, or 6 months total experience?
Total, U.S. and Canada.
Okay. Yeah, there are some companies out there that will take him on. And maybe in some sort of a mentorship. Has he kept his record clean the last 6 months?
Oh, yeah. No, he's perfect. Like, I mean, you know, he's
he made it through a winter.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, if you made it through winter, yep.
And, you know, the usual rookie scrapes and bruises, but, no, I have no complaints, and that way it's just, like I said, just some shady stuff going on the last couple of weeks.
I'm sitting here with
a CVOR and, you know, thinking, well, I'm comfortable where I am at Landstar right now, and like, I basically only work 2 weeks a month. I do a dedicated kind of deal, so I'd have the time to work with him if I was to go on my own. So,
yeah, I strongly don't think I don't think it's a very good idea right now. You know, unless you're going to really invest in this thing and go and get a reefer, but you know, your insurance for him could be expensive as a non-fleet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I've already gotten a quote on that, so.
And how much was it?
If you add the year in, it's going to be about $14,000 for the year.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
How much is that?
Sorry,
how much liability?
I think that was $2 million.
Okay, that's not bad at all. Good rate.
Like I can get him insurance right now. I could have back in February to run just all of Canada, and it wasn't facility. Insurance. It was a regular insurance policy, which surprised me, and it was going to be just under $9,000 for the year. So
they're not, but you know what? They're not worried about guys just running Canada because the liability is somewhat limited here. They're worried about them crossing the border, and the liability is sky high.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
So that was my, you know, like, and that's going to be the big thing too, because it bottom line is it's going to be the insurance company that determines that. You know, if they come, I know that if he doesn't have the year's experience, like a year ago when I looked into it, it was going to be like $32,000 for him to run the
year.
So, you know, that's the big thing too. So, okay, Chuck, I appreciate your time.
Good luck to you, and go and find another place for him to work.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
All right. And one more thing before we go on, I want to acknowledge Joe and Ken. I see you guys there. We're going to be coming to you in just a second. But the other call, I forgot the gentleman's name that called in a little earlier. I think it was Mike that was talking about the oil fields and stuff like that. And
right.
I just want to recommend, I'd be remiss in my duties. Some of the tone in Mike's voice a little bit kind of struck me a little bit. With all the stuff that I had going on, I couldn't really focus my thoughts. And hindsight in retrospect, and I didn't want to let it get too far down the road, but I want to recommend a book to Mike by, it's called QBQ. I think John Miller is the author. It's Question Behind the Question. But I want to recommend that book to him because it sounded a little bit, some of his talk sounded a little bit almost victim mentality.
the oil fields and other things. And I'm not trying to dismiss that some things may not, some people may paint a picture that's rosier than what it may seem. But at the end of the day, guys, we got to remember that we are responsible for our own destiny. At the end of the day, regardless of what kind of slight we may have been thrown from a company or anybody else, at the end of the day, we are responsible for us. So I don't want to pass the buck too far off, and I don't want to come across preachy either. I understand sometimes how the hopelessness feels. I understand the whole aspect of at the position that he's in, because I've been there as well. I've been in that position before where it didn't seem like there was any hope or there was any light at the end of the tunnel. But tough times don't last. Tough people do. You just have to kind of wrap your get your mind in a mind frame in a state of mind to not let this beat you. Don't position of I was making $80,000 a year. Some of that you might have to take up, and this is going to be the tough part. You might have to take a look in the mirror and say, okay, when I was making that kind of money, did I handle it the best possible way?
Bingo.
And that's a tough pill to swallow, because we are in instant society where we want everything now, and the easiest way to get things now is not to have a long-suffering mentality, is to just go ahead and finance it, and then we accumulate all of this debt, which is why I was saying, you know, go check out Dave Ramsey. There's a reason why car dealerships don't advertise the prices of cars. There's a reason why furniture stores are telling you 24 months with no interest. If you spend all of your, if all of your income is going out making payments, then guess what? At the end of the day, you don't have any money left and you're broke. You know, it kind of reminds me of that, I think it's one of those insurance commercials that a guy's riding around on his lawnmower and was, you know, had a big, nice, fancy house, big, nice car and everything, but he was like, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Debt is slavery, people. And I'm gonna get off my soapbox, but I just wanted to, some of what he was saying there kind of struck me a little bit, and I just felt it was on my heart that I needed to say that. I needed to put that out there.
Well
I'm
said, Rico.
My soapbox now, I promise. Okay, Chuck. I'm gonna take a quick segue, and I'm gonna try to bust out this truck, the USDA fruit and vegetable truck rate report, real quick. And it's going
okay.
to be quick, because there are no markets that are showing any slight shortages. There are no markets that are showing any shortages. Every single market, according to the USDA report, is showing an adequate truck supply through all markets and regions that fruit, produce, and vegetables are moving in right now, which means pretty much for guys that are chasing the produce that some of the rates may start to fall back down a little bit if you were even experiencing really great rates. And let's try and bust out this DAT trend line report really quickly for the week of June 28th through July 4th. Rates rose for vans, reefers, but dipped for flatbeds earlier last week as shippers closed month in the quarter. By the end of the week, however, load board activity slowed for the July 4th holiday, leading to a 20% decline in the load and truck post. So we're going to take and see what the U.S. van demand was looking like for the week of the 28th through the 4th, July 4th. And van load post declined 16% and truck post fell 20% last week. Due to July 4th holiday, the load-to-truck ratio rose 5.4% to 2.4 loads per truck, and van rates added 2 cents per mile. June ratio dips 5.3%. Load availability was stable in June, and capacity increased 5.7% compared to May for a 5.3% decline in the load-to-truck ratio. Compared to the atypical conditions of June 2014, the ratio fell 44%. Wow. From 4.3 to 2.4. Moving on quickly over into the U.S. van rates for the week of June 28th through July 4th. The national average rate for vans recovered 2 cents to $1.89 per mile last week due to the end of quarter and per pre-holiday demand. Van rates continued to climb in key markets such as the Southeast and California. Rates rise 2 cents in June. The average van rate rose 2 cents per mile from May to June
due to increase in fuel surcharge compared to June of 2014. The total rate fell 22 cents, including a 19 cents drop in the fuel surcharge. Quickly going around the country, Philadelphia shows for the Northeast Corridor representative shows an average of $1.73 per mile on average. The Mid-Atlantic and Southeastern representative city for dry vans is Atlanta, showing a $2.15 per mile average coming out of Atlanta. Moving up into the Midwest, Chicago is the representative city, showing an average rate for dry vans of $1.96 per mile. In the South Central region of the United States, Dallas is showing a $1.90 per mile average. And coming out of Los Angeles, the City of Angels actually sets the high water mark for dry vans, showing an average of $2.35 per mile coming out of Los Angeles. Moving on over to the U.S. demand for flatbeds for the week of June 28th through July 4th. Flatbed load post declined 25% last week, and the truck post dropped 14%. 20% decline in the load board activity is typical during a holiday week. The load-to-truck ratio lost 13% to 16.6 loads per truck, and rates dipped 1 cent per mile. June ratio flatbed freight availability increased 9.3% in June, and capacity held steady compared to May. The resulting load-to-truck ratio rose 9.1% compared to a typical conditions of June 2014. The ratio declined 51%. So there's just notice the trend that we're talking about here from last year to this year in both segments of dry vans, flatbeds, and I'm probably going to assume that reefer's going to be in that as well. But with no further ado, let's jump over real quick and look at the flatbed rates for June 28th to July 4th. National average rate for flatbeds dipped 1 cent last week to $2.18 per mile. On a decline in the load-to-truck ratio, rates rose in Savannah, Dallas, and Fort Worth, but dipped in Pittsburgh. Flatbed rates increased another 1 cent in June compared to May. The total rate of $2.19 per mile was 24 cents lower than the national average of June 2014. Largely due to a 21 cents drop in the average fuel surcharge year over year. Going across the country, Northeastern Corridor is the representative city out of the Northeast. It's Harrisburg, showing an average rate of $3.92 per mile for flatbeds. The Southeast representative, Atlanta, showing a $2.67 per mile average coming out of Atlanta. Moving on over into the Midwest, Rock Island is the representative city out of the Midwest, showing an average of $2.71 per mile. Houston, Texas, showing an average rate in the South Central region of the United States at $2.27 per mile. And Phoenix, Arizona wraps up the flatbed report, showing for the West Coast $2.01 per mile on average coming out of Phoenix, Arizona. And to wrap up the DAT trend line, let's jump over into the reefer reports. Load post for reefers declined 17% last week, and truck post dropped 21%. Due to the short holiday week, the national average load-to-truck ratio added 4.8% to 6.4 loads per truck, and average rates rose 1 cent. Reefer load availability increased 5.5% in June, but capacity also added 6.3% compared to May. The load-to-truck ratio was stable, down 0.8%, which puts us at 5.9 loads per truck. Compared to the unusually high demand of 2014, the ratio fell 49%. So across all three segments, we are basically down 50% from last year, from the same time last year, historically. Moving on over into the rate department for reefers. The national average rate for reefers recouped 1 cent last week in the run-up to the July 4th as rates continued to trend up in Sacramento and Dallas. Reefer rates added 3 cents in June compared to May. An average of $2.19 per mile compared to 2014, the national average fuel surcharge fell
20 cents and the line haul rate dipped 1 cent for an average of 21 cent decline in the total rate year over year. So this kind of this helps explain a little bit of what's going on. Nothing necessarily make it better. It kind of just gives us a little bit of an idea to kind of look at what happened last year and what's going on this year and how we may need to, as an industry and as business owners, how we may need to start making a couple of adjustments to our operations. Real quickly, just going across the country real quick, and we're going to wrap this up and get right back into the calls with Chuck. Elizabeth, New Jersey shows for the Northeast Corridor an average of $1.85 per mile on average for reefers. Lakeland, Florida, coming out, student representative, showing an average of $1.82 per mile. Green Bay, Wisconsin, setting the high water mark coming out of the Midwest, $2.75 per mile on average. The South Central United States representative city is McAllen, Texas, down out of the Rio Grande, showing a $2.01 per mile average coming out of the Rio Grande. And Fresno, coming out of the West Coast, is the representative city, showing a $2.35 per mile average. And that, ladies and gentlemen, wraps up my little reports really quickly. Chuck, any commentary on that before we jump back into the calls? We got Joe, Ken, and Jazz. I see you all. We're coming to you soon.
No commentary.
Okay, okay. Well, and one thing that we also wanted to bring up that we didn't get a chance to touch on, and maybe we'll do it before the show wraps up, but we wanted to try to talk about the deadline that's, that Congress and the feds are working on to try to implement this EOBR mandate for everybody that's out here. We may jump into that before the close of the show, but we don't want to keep our callers waiting, so with no further ado, we're going to jump over and grab Joe. Let's see if we can get Joe up and on board with us. Joe, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Rico?
We're good, Joe. How about yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. You took some of my thunder away regarding that first caller. What I've noticed in the last, well, for quite a while, is there's a lot of people, when the economy turns down, they turn to trucks, and they say, hey, I will buy a truck, and that will solve my problems. But the problem that I find in a lot of them, like I get guys trying to lease onto me, and they'll come in, they'll have all these things, and I'll just look at them and say, what are your expectations? And they have no clue. They do not know. They think they'll buy a truck, and that will solve all their problems. I had one guy that come over, and he said, well, I've got a $3,000 house payment. I said, buddy, there's your problem. Yeah, and they have unrealistic, they don't have a plan, or they may have a plan, but they don't have they might have a goal, but they don't have a plan how to get to their end goal. And they don't know what they're doing. They're, like Kevin says, they're buying a job. This is a great industry. You can make a lot of money. You can succeed. But you can fail so fast that you won't know that you failed.
Oh, yeah.
Very true, Joe.
Sure.
I'll add to that. We're not really truckers. We're really accountants that have trucks.
Oh, yes.
This is a numbers game, nothing else.
At the profit margins are measured in pennies, not dollars.
Right.
That's the sad part. You're right.
That's something. And Joe, you're preaching to the choir, my friend. You're going to get me back on my soapbox. But that's some of the things that I try to caution people against. Being on Facebook sometimes and being in some of these different groups, and I'm a member of a bunch of different groups, and I refrain a lot of times from saying a lot of things when I see different people post a lot of stuff. I see people post settlements, pictures of their Qualcomm and stuff, and it's so damn misleading because they're showing that, but then that's not your net. And anybody that runs a business knows that, okay, gross, that's great. But what is your net? That's what actually puts food on the table. And that's something that I try to caution people against by when they're looking at people's settlement reports or when they're listening to people tell them all this pie-in-the-sky stuff. Look, man, get some real-world, I understand, but get some real-world numbers. People ask me about just bring it back to trucking real quick. People ask me about the trucking, the brokering school that I went to. And I just throw this out there for anybody that's thinking about trying to go and pay anybody for a brokerage school. Just something that you might want to put into your notes when you're vetting before you give somebody your money. Look to see if they actually have loads posted on the load board, if they're actually moving freight, or if they're just making the majority of their money off teaching theories. Sadly enough, that's something that I had to learn the hard way. I got a lot of applications and stuff that I could use, but the people that I went to brokering school with don't really move a ton of freight. And if I'd have known that going in, that might have swayed my decision before I went down that road. But just something I just want to throw out there while I was on my little preaching seminar real quick.
what we do is our drivers come in the office and they'll say, we need logs. Okay, my wife counts the logs out. And the driver says, well, why do you get so stingy with logs? Hey, they cost. Envelopes cost. We track everything. A penny saved is a penny earned. And you make $1 million 1 cent at a time.
So true.
Absolutely.
Especially in this business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if you can make a dollar a day, you're doing good sometimes, especially in these times. I mean, they get tough. But so many people have no expectation or no any idea of what they are doing. I'll buy a truck. I'll get my authority. I'll go trucking. Well, you know, back in the 80s, there used to be a truck driving company out of Colorado, National Truck Drivers. They had TV ads all the time. Drive a truck. Make money. Have a boat, pick up and everything. What they forgot to tell you is you're going to be driving a truck. You ain't going to be sitting on that lake driving that boat.
Well, how true.
You know, that's what I got to say, you know, is a lot of people, they really need to redefine their end goal. Look back, like you said, Rico, maybe his expectations aren't good, because being a new owner-operator, he might come out here and make less than he is now, and then he'd have to eat bologna with no bread.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the sad thing is he said he has a wife and family. Well, then everybody suffers, you know. And when you fail in transportation, you're generally not at home.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That is definitely true. And you know, and speaking of the you know, just the whole aspect of, you know, you're the man and you're the head of your household and you got to lead your family. You know, they're looking to you for leadership. They're looking for you for guidance. So we have to, you know, that's a serious responsibility in itself. I'm gonna back off of that one.
That's all I've got, guys. I appreciate the show tonight. You guys have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Joe.
All right, Joe.
You bet. Thanks.
All right. Let's see. We got Ken wanting to get in real quickly. We got a bunch of people that's got on the line. Let's see. Let's grab Ken real quick. Ken, you're on with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hi, Rico. Hey, stay on that soapbox because 10 years ago I figured out that I was that way. I owned a business, and it was a retail business. Had plenty of money, I thought, until I looked at my resources and found out that I was in debt farther than I could realize. Now I'm totally out of debt, except for my mortgage, of course, and that's going to be taken off real soon. But here's my question for you guys. I've got – thank you. I've got a I'm looking at buying my first truck. Of course, like I said, I'd already owned a business. So the business aspect of it, I think I've got down pretty well. But see if this throws up a red flag. And then also I want to know what other questions I need to ask companies about it, okay? This place is a dry van hauler. They do expedited and high value.
Right.
They're going to pay me 88% of gross for the – $750 a month for the insurance, load insurance, and so, which I'll have to. I mean, they pay it, but I have to pay them $750 a month.
This is just for the load insurance, not for the truck insurance.
Well, no, it wouldn't be for the bobtail. It'd be for the truck insurance and truck and trailer and load. That would be all three included.
Whose trailer
now, my
is
bob,
this?
Their trailer.
Okay. And you get 88, so they're only taking off 12% for
yes.
their trailer and brokerage?
Yes.
Very reasonable.
They're not charging your trailer fee?
No.
Okay.
At least they didn't say they were. I'll put that down for a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much is the bobtail insurance?
I'm going with a 2002 Pete. So the bobtail insurance, you have to get your own. They won't get it, but they said it would be between $130, $140 a month for that old of a truck.
Okay.
They've got, because it's Illinois, you've got workman's comp that you have to pay for. And
okay.
That would be $160 a month.
That's reasonable.
Okay. That's what I thought, too. The plates they pay for up front, and then you have to pay them back within a 3 to 4 week period. April to April is $1,680 a year. So prorate the first year.
Right.
They're saying everybody takes about $35,000 to $4,000 per week home. But then they come back and say that works out to about $1 per mile.
I think the ledger lines are getting mixed up here.
That's what I thought too. That was the first.
You know, let me just say one thing. Sounds too good to be true. Usually is.
Right.
Okay, $1 a mile. Now, if that's $1 a mile take home, okay.
Right. Yes.
Then that's phenomenal. Okay. That's like unbelievable.
Okay.
But I'm really skeptical.
Okay.
You know, the average owner operator take home, and I can only speak for up here in Canada, it's probably about 60 cents a mile.
Okay.
Guys run 120,000 miles a year, they make $72,000 after everything. So it's a little better,
right?
You know, and I think that's realistic. $1 a mile, my God, man! I think I would leave my, I'd leave all this nonsense behind to make $1 a mile take home.
Right. Well, I mean, that's expedited and high value, so that's the reason why I figured it was a little bit high, but I was thinking, man, how in the world can that work out the right way there?
You know, I got to tell you something. When it comes to these percentage deals, some of them are true blue and some of them aren't, and some of them get padded. And I'm not saying that this company is doing that, but, you know, I think it was the caller we had on before, or one of the callers, I think his name was Mike, and he had a 2000 and he was going to go work for somebody at $1.20 a mile. That's
right,
a lot
yeah.
safer. You know, his deal is better than, I think if I was starting out my first truck, I would go with his deal because it's covering your empty miles. You know, sometimes these 88% deals, yeah, it's really good. You get 88% of something, and then they're going to run you 300 miles empty, and you're going to go 300
right.
miles empty at your expense and then go hook up to a load that's not so high value, that's not so expedite, but it's the only thing in the area, and it's going 100 miles past where you want to get off.
Right, yeah.
And that happens an awful lot with these percentage deals. Now, there are some great percentage companies. I'm not saying that there's not, but I would be very skeptical. I think you're better off for your first – if this is your first truck and your first deal, you want to have some assurance. Go to a company
right.
where they're not promising you the world, but they're promising you something realistic. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you can make that mortgage payment and that truck payment with realism. You're never going to do a
Correct.
Fantasy. You know?
Correct.
So,
yeah,
maybe somebody's going to pay $6,000 for a $1,000 load, and that does happen once in a while. But I'm going to tell you, quite often, according to drivers I know that have worked on those deals, the $6,000 load, by the time you get it, is $4,000. Because he's already skimmed
right.
off another $2,000.
But and that's, that was the other question. One of the other kind of questions I had going into these before I even get into it is, how do you know the, you know, because even the ones that do the percentage, how do you know what the load rate is? I mean, how do you know that they haven't put it into a secondary company and, you know,
that
replaced
happens.
Or whatever?
You know, I've had drivers come in here, owner operators through the years, and they were working at percentage-based on percentage-based contracts other places, and that's exactly what happened. Is they weren't getting the true percentages, and it's really risky, especially with your first truck. Once you know the business a little bit, and you know the rates, and you know what people can get, go out and you know, get something steady. There's lots of good companies out there.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, you got a 2002. Set yourself up for success, or maybe a company out there has got a steady run from point A to point B and back. You start doing expedite, and if you look at that contract, and that, I don't know why a company would be doing 2000, would be doing expedited and giving it to a, and no offense, I love old trucks, okay, because they're more reliable than new ones, but still, at the end of the day, when if an expedited load is late and a customer finds out that I put it on board one of my old wounded gazelles, that customer is going to, you know, they're not going to use me again. I've lost my credibility.
Correct, yeah.
You know, your truck,
okay.
God bless it, it's 13 years old.
Right, no, I understand. And that was one of my other problems with it. And, you know, because I figure if I could make it through, you know, 2 or 3 months, with the truck and learn it and get, you know, then I could see doing the expedited. That was one of the flags that was up in my mind too, when he said he was he did expedited. The dollar a mile was the other one, that was really shady between that with the 3,500 to 4,000 a week. And that was the other, flag that I had. So, okay. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate
it. Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye bye now.
All right, Chuck, I was listening in. I had to step out the truck just for a second. Let's
no problem.
Man, time is running real quick, and we got Ken on, got Joe on. Let's go to Jazz. Jazz, you're on live with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, Rico, what I need you guys to motivate me. I have my own authority, my truck paid for, my trailer paid for, but I'm doing this power only. I have my flatbed at home, and I want to start pulling my own flatbed, but I broke about 20 grand a month, and I did about 13 to 14 a month doing this power only deal. But I work pretty hard out here. I run about 3,500 miles a week, and I'm not able to get home but every other weekend. So I know with my own flatbed, I can get home a little more, you know, running the low board or the stock market. You know, I'm kind of scared to pull that trigger. I don't want to make a mistake and lose money in the end. Do you think it's safe for me to stay over here or grab my flatbed and start running with it? And both of them.
No, stay where you are. Do not go into the flatbed business right now.
Okay, okay.
And why I'm saying that, in both our countries, the oil business has gone flat. And as a result, an awful lot of that equipment that was used for hauling for the oil fields is now looking for other work in your country and mine. And what I'm finding is that an awful lot of times, some of the rates on flatbed are much lower than they were because there's so many flatbeds available. And Rico and I were just talking during one of the break times and before, and you know, there may be some, we may be heading into some uncharted waters or some rough waters ahead. And the last thing you want to be doing when that happens is pulling a flatbed.
Okay, yeah, because this company over here, it paid me loaded and empty miles.
You keep working there and you keep going home whenever they let you go home and put that money away.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, God bless. Have a good night.
We appreciate it.
And I think we're getting ready. Actually, the time just expired, but we got one more caller, and we'll get that caller in, and we'll wrap up after him. So, Ken, you get to have the last call of the night. You're on live with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey Rico. Hey, Chuck. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to go over some of my numbers with you guys. I've got a 26-year-old truck, 1989, good shape with a 2013 Rentenhour flatbed, 48102. My fixed cost is 17 cents a mile between tag, heavy highway, tax, $1,000 a month payment on my trailer, and $240 a month.
So is that $1,000 and that 17 cents?
Say again, please.
Is that $1,000 included in that 17 cents fixed cost?
Yes, sir. So the only thing else is $240 a month for bobtail and physical damage insurance.
Okay.
So 17 cents a mile for that. I've run 51,000 miles so far this year, ending in June. And then my maintenance cost is 15 cents a mile, and I've had the truck for 7 years. 6 years of it, I didn't drive it. I had other guys driving it, and I rebuilt the whole thing, all majors on major components. So I think I'm sitting pretty good, about 12 grand on the trailer, you know, and my fuel cost right now is 31 cents a mile. And that's kind of skewed because I was for 3 months hauling 8,000-pound loads and empty coming back. So I'll probably
bump
5 cents going back to 70,000, 80,000.
Wow, you're getting great fuel mileage on that truck, or you're buying your fuel real cheap.
My cost on the fuel with the NASDAQ Fleet One card is real good. It's $262, and my for year to date fuel mileage is 8.5.
God bless you. That's excellent. Good work, man.
So you know, I'm doing about $1.59 in my lease with the fuel surcharge. So I think I'm doing okay. And I just want to, I'm a little concerned about, you know, what you're talking about with the oil fields and rates dropping and fuel just dropped 10 cents a gallon today, you know. So I think with crude oil at 51 something, I'm a little concerned, you know, with the future. And
well, but none of us can really, Rico and I were chatting about it. We're in a global economy. Part of this stuff we're seeing right now, recently, has to do with what's going on in Greece. And there's nothing precedented before with anybody dropping out of the European Economic Union. So the markets are up in arms. You're okay. You don't have a huge – you know what? If you had a huge overhead with that truck, you should be concerned. That truck doesn't cost you anything to run. You'll make a living. I wouldn't lose any sleep over what you've got. You may lose some part of your contract or it may diminish a little bit, but your overhead is so low. Keep doing what you're doing as long as you can do it.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah, those numbers were great. That fixed cost was outstanding.
The best I've ever heard. This guy's got my God, I have not heard fuel costs like that in years.
But that's going back to another thing, you know, I was kind of harping on a little earlier. I was talking about with some of the other people that are thinking about getting into this industry, being owners, and, you know, guys, like Chuck said, that's a beautiful analogy, Chuck. We're accountants with trucks. This is a numbers game, and a lot of people just – we get late. We really do get lazy. I'm guilty of it at times. We just, the numbers are not sexy. It's boring. It's mundane. Don't want to do it.
it sometimes makes your eyes glaze over. But now is critical more so than any other time. Man, we got to start cracking down and watching our expenses, watching what's coming in, what's going out, because it's at a critical point right now. It's really at a real critical point right now. And, you know, we just looked at the VAT report showing that across all transportation segments, we were down 50% across the board from the same point last year. As far as capacity, well, not capacity, but as far as tonnage and everything is, we're down. So we're going to have to start making some adjustments. We're going to have to start doing some things a little bit different. We're going to have to start tightening our belts. But, you know, like I said earlier, tough times don't last, tough people do. So, and this is going to weed out a bunch of people. And
oh, yeah.
If you're not watching, those numbers, it's actually good news for those of us that are watching the numbers, because it'll start to, you know, not to sound cruel or anything like that, but it'll, hey, survival of the fittest. Those that don't know and don't and hadn't taken the time to watch the numbers and do the things that they need to do to make their business successful, they're not going to be in business much longer. And us guys and girls that are taking the time to avail ourselves of as much information as possible and try to make changes and set up good business policies and tactics, I think we're going to be rewarded for that. But we're going to have to suffer through a little bit of a lean time in order to get to that point. And we ran completely out of time. We're practically in overtime right now. We got bumped off of the podcast portion of it. So if you're still on the line, so notice we still got quite a few people still hanging on the line listening to us. So I don't want to be remiss in my duties and not kind of plug some of my fellow members before we get out of here completely. So let me take the time a minute and do that real quickly. Yesterday evening, every Tuesday, our good friend Kenny Long, he has his podcast, Trucking with Authority. It comes on every Tuesday at 7 p.m., same time. Call-in number for that show is 646-277. Kenny has a ton of great information when it comes to getting started in this business, things that you need to do. He can help you from a more practical standpoint of understanding what it is, the steps that you need to take, and everything that you need to do to be successful with getting your business started. That's what Kenny's show surrounds. On Fridays, Kim Cochran has her show, Destination Health, Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Something that all of us need to be more cognizant of is taking better care of ourselves out here on the road, and that's what Kim's show focuses around. Is her show is Destination Health. Call-in number for that show is 347-324-3285. And, of course, on Sundays at 9 p.m., this is where the rubber meets the road, literally. Mike and Kevin Beckett, their show, Rolling Toe. Mike and Kevin Beckett, some of the foremost experts when it comes to alignments and issues with trucks and tires. Seeing this guy operate firsthand myself, you guys want to check him out, avail yourself of some of his information. His show is every Sunday at 9 p.m. Call-in number for that show is 347-637-1067. And with that said, Chuck, anything you want to say in wrapping up before we get out of here? Don't want to take too much more of your time.
No, you know what, Rico? I always enjoy these evenings, and you know, I had tonight's no different. I really enjoyed it. We had some great questions. We may be heading. We don't know. You know, we may be heading into some uncertain times. We don't know for sure. So, you know, my best advice to everybody is, you know, keep your expenses down. You know, chrome don't get you home. Don't go out and buy stuff for your truck you don't need that's not going to make you money. Everybody wants some people want a nice shiny truck. It's not going to make you anymore. Be realistic in your expectations. We had a boomer year as an industry the last couple of years. We have peaks and valleys. And what happens is people hear that guys are doing well in trucking, so they get into it and they buy a truck or three, or fleets expand. And now all of a sudden we go from having a capacity crunch to having too many trucks, and the markets are reacting. We live and breathe in a live market. And when you're seeing these rates come down, there's a lot of reasons for it. Part of it, of course, with produce, we're kind of at a funny time of year because most produce is local right now. So we're not shipping produce from the, you know, from California, Texas, and Florida. People in, you know, people in Kentucky are eating local, you know, local produce, as, you know, as are the people in the Carolinas. So that's got an effect on markets. I wouldn't get too scared, but I'm just telling people, be cautious in what you spend. And that's all I really have to say. And I wish everybody a safe journey wherever they're going. Have a good night.
Absolutely, Chuck. If don't know, I'm going to touch base back with you before the week's out, if I can, and I don't know what your schedule is looking like for the rest of the month. But I might want to see if you might be available, maybe double dip. I might want to get you back on. I got some more stuff that I wanted to try to get into that I didn't get a chance to get into tonight with the unforeseen circumstances that we had going on. But I'll talk to you about that later, maybe.
Not a problem.
Based on that. And before we get out of here tonight, we want to always, as we always do, give thanks to Kevin Rutherford, Lisa Rutherford, and the entire Less Truck team. Don't get to name all of you guys out there, but I want to let you guys know, all of the guys on the Less Truck team, that we appreciate you, that we value everything that you guys do to help us try to make this industry a better place. So with that said, we want to thank everyone for their time out of their busy schedule to come and check us out tonight and listen to us. And please, if you haven't already done so, go to Facebook and like the Rates and Lane page with Rico Muhammad. Go ahead and give us some likes. We want to try and push that thing up above the 500 mark. And if you have any questions or anything, that's the place to send them, is on the Rates and Lane Facebook page. You can put your questions or anything like that there, and we'll try and get them addressed. If not at there, we'll try to get them knocked out here on the show. And we want to take as much feedback and anything that you can see that we might need to do to help make us better. You can leave us a critique and some feedback on there as well. This is Rico Muhammad coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, signing off. I want to thank you all again. God bless you and good night. Good night, Chuck.
Good night, Rico. God bless.